Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 23rd, 2019. Today is Saturday in the second week of Lent. This is a reading from the 7th chapter of John. Jesus went about in Galilee. He did not wish to go about in Judea because the Jews were looking for an opportunity to kill him. Now the Jewish festival of booths was near, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one who wants to be widely known acts in secret. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify against it that its works are evil. Go to the festival yourselves. I am not going to this festival, for my time has not yet fully come." This is a curious passage, and it's curious that the daily office moves us from yesterday at the end of the 5th chapter of John, completely skips over the 6th chapter of John and drops us at the beginning of the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. Here are a couple of things to consider. The first thing to consider is that the 6th chapter of John merely continues the ongoing dispute that Jesus has with the religious leadership. The 6th chapter of John contains the great bread of life discourse, where Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh will receive the living bread that comes down from heaven." And there's the great dispute with the religious leadership. "Are you greater than Moses? Moses gave the people bread to eat in the wilderness." And Jesus says, "Well, Moses' bread passes away, but the bread that if you will eat from me, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. That bread is the life of the world." You can imagine how that particular line of reasoning sat with the religious leadership. So remember, the 5th chapter of John, Jesus is defending his authority with the religious leadership to perform a miracle on the Sabbath. The 6th chapter of John, there's this whole dispute about his identification as God's bread for all the world, as opposed to just the manna that God provides the children of Israel in the wilderness. And now, beginning in the 7th chapter, you see this controversy continuing. And one of the things that John does with the trajectory of his gospel is, because he set the cleansing of the temple, where Jesus drives the money changers out of the temple early on in the gospel, in the way that John tells the story, Jesus has been into dispute with the religious leaders from almost the very start. Here's one more thing to pay close attention to. Remember, I said yesterday that John's gospel is the latest of the four gospels, written well toward the end of the first century common era. By the time John's gospel was written, John's community had probably already been expelled from the synagogue. There had already been a parting of the ways between John's community, who was confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and the traditional Jewish communities that were, well, at odds with that confession. One of the things that I tell the congregation time and time again, because it's particularly important that we remember it, is when John's gospel talks about the disputes Jesus has with, quote, the Jews, unquote, he is talking about the religious leadership, the religious elite, particularly the religious elite centered in and around Jerusalem and the temple. It's important to remember that Jesus is a Jew. Jesus is not a Christian. Jesus' disciples are not Christians. They are Jews. And so when John talks about Jesus disputing with the Jews, it's not like these were the enemies of Jesus per se. It was simply that this was a dispute between a northern Galilean itinerant preacher, would-be prophet teacher, and the religious establishment at Jerusalem. So these disputes were very much an intra-religious dispute. And remembering that this gospel is written long after Jesus has died and been risen from the dead, long after that, the community that John was a part of, the Johannine community, had probably had its own run-ins with the religious establishment. So in some ways, this narrative mirrors what the Johannine community is going through. Anyway, it's just helpful to keep that in mind so that we don't fall prey to this notion that there was some entity called, quote, the Jews, who were actively persecuting Jesus. That sort of interpretation of the fourth gospel and indeed other gospels has led to some horrible atrocities through the centuries. And the residual of those atrocities remain in anti-Semitism that is so much a part of our world today. So I just want us to be careful about that. The other thing that I think is really interesting for us to think about in the chapter and verses that we read today from John chapter 7 is this sort of editorial comment by the gospel writer that Jesus' own family did not believe in him. And remember, this notion of putting your trust in, this notion of belief, is another key theme of the fourth gospel. But the one piece that has caught my attention today is when Jesus refuses to go to this festival, he says an interesting line, "My time has not yet fully come." This is an echo, really, of the comment that he makes to his mother at the wedding feast in Cana when she tells him that they've run out of wine, and he says, "What is that to do with me? My hour is not yet come." Again, one of the things that we hear in the Jesus that is portrayed in the fourth gospel is a person who is very sure of his mission, very sure of who he is and what he's here to do, and has a keen sense, according to John, of how it all plays out and how it all has to happen in, quote, the right time, or when his time has really arrived. All of that, I think, plays into where we are in at the end of this second week of Lent. Jesus in John's gospel, being certain, or more certain in John's gospel than any of the other ones, about his mission, is also content, and I'm using that in scare quotes, to take his ministry one day at a time and be very particular about how it unfolds. I think there's something there for us to reflect upon in a world where we're constantly moving to the next thing, and it's more important to get the next thing done than it is to be attentive to what it is that we're actually doing. So important to move on, to get there, to hurry up, that it never occurs to us that there might be an opportunity to wait and to wait upon the correct time in the right hour. I've just been thinking about that. I don't know that that's a perfectly wonderful exegetical move to make in the passage that we have before us today, but I have been thinking about what it means as people of God on the Lenten journey to take the journey one day at a time, one moment at a time, one step at a time, to not get ahead of ourselves, to not wish that this season that can be sometimes tedious would pass really quickly so that we can just get on to Easter. The time will come. Holy Week will arrive. But in the meantime, we have some work to do. We have the work that we've been given to do, which is to be faithful to God's call to us, to be attentive to the movement of the Spirit within our midst, and to continue to look toward the ways in which we are being called to live as the people of God in our time and place. And that cannot be done hurriedly. We have to wait until our time has fully come. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.